Hi everyone, this is Masashi and welcome to part two of Rodcast with Japanese History. How are you, Pastor Rod?
I'm great and I love this subject of God and Japan. Wow, it's amazing, right?
It's an amazing history. I think everybody loved it and we love talking about it as well. But today I want to pick up maybe a couple hundred years later after that original move with opening of Japan to Christianity. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Pastor Rod?
Yeah, so Japan really closed up about the year 1600. There was laws, there was rules, and millions were tortured and persecuted, and we know at least 500,000 died for their faith in Christ. It was that early 1600s was so tough, and 250 years later, there was a change back to the emperor, the Meiji restoration. The emperor's name is Meiji, and so I think it was 1857. I think that's the date was the official legalization of Christianity in Japan after 250 years. And it was because the American sent in a gunboat into Yokohama or down that way, down into Kanagawa, anyway, somewhere there. Black ships, they were called, with big cannons. And the American Navy said, open up Japan or we'll fire. And so the new emperor who took back the power from the shoguns, that's a lot of history there, but anyway.
Yeah.
Wanted to be Western oriented, opened up the country. And it was about 1857, all of a sudden, there was Christians coming out of the woodwork, coming out of the secret closet, coming out and declaring, actually, we are secret believers, or our ancestors are secret believers. And one of our pastors, Pastor Noboru, knows this history, so we could talk to him one day about that. And people coming out, and in Nagasaki, one lady coming to the Catholic priest and saying, hello, I'm such and such, I believe like you, and the priest being shocked that people are coming out with this secret faith.
Right.
And after 250 years of secrecy, a lot of that, things got strange, but people's hearts were good. And so there was, once again, a move of Catholics in Nagasaki and in Fukuoka, where your lovely wife comes from. There was a renewal of interest, and right across Japan, there was some move. Now, the Protestant church in America then started sending missionaries. The first Protestant church in Japan was after 1857. But many daimyos were still persecuting Christians till the mid-60s, and there was a lot of stories of Christians coming out and being killed at that time. And there's a book I'm going to refer to later called Song for Nagasaki. And in that book, a wonderful man called Dr. Nagai talks about that season, that there was actually people coming out, and then there was actually people being put in concentration camps and dying, even though the law had changed. But in the 60s, it really did get free, and missionaries came, and it was just amazing. There was Presbyterians and Methodists, especially from America, were coming in, and little churches were started. But at the same time, after the end of the samurai, many of the samurai people didn't know what to do with their lives. And so they were put into things like the new post office, the new government services. But there was this militaristic thing, which we're not going to talk too much about it, but just let you know, it actually came out of that time where a lot of Japanese had lost positions. And so the country moved towards becoming westernized, even in the military. And they actually waged a war against Russia, believe it or not. I think it was 1895, and sunk all the Russian ships in a couple of days because the Japanese military had westernized. Now, coming into the 19th century, there was slow growth but steady growth until World War II. And, of course, that was the most disruptive moment, 1939 to 1945. America was involved 1941 till 45. And during that time, all the churches were put into one group, whether they were, whatever they were, there was the Catholics and there was the rest. And the rest were put into one group called the Uniting Church, which we still have in Japan today. So Christians were persecuted again, but not to death. It was just very hard to be a Christian during those years. But we want to come to this very important moment. I know that's where we want to get to.
Yes.
1945 and the mm-hmm. end of World War II, because mm-hmm. this is a cataclysmic change in Japan. Someone described it to me this way, that the two nuclear bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima were huge and terrible.
Wow.
But they were not as big an impact as the emperor actually coming on the radio and surrendering to the Americans.
Right.
So let's go to that moment where
moment, right, Pastor? Because he basically came on the radio, say, "Hey, we have been defeated and I am not God," because a lot of people thought after him, and you know, everybody thought the emperor was acting like a god. So that's a pretty big moment historically, would you say?
It's huge. I think this is it is the change to modern Japan. I think this mm-hmm. moment, because there was no TV back then, of course, and mm-hmm. the emperor had never had his voice on the radio. No one had ever heard him speak. And when he came on the radio, it was a little voice, and it said, We must endure the unendurable, whatever that is in Japanese.
Yeah.
That's the English version. We must endure the unendurable. We must mm-hmm. surrender. And I have given commands. Everyone to lay down their arms. And that day, everyone in Japan laid down their arms. It was a huge moment.
Yeah.
And when the Americans then came in under General Douglas MacArthur, into Tokyo Bay or Yokohama Bay, actually, where you are, Douglas MacArthur became a friend of the emperor.
Wow.
An actual friend. And, of course, they would have used interpreters, but there was an actual close friendship.
Wow.
There's a movie made about it called, I think it's called Emperor, starring Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Lee, that's you.
It's people call me Tommy. Why? Hey, why? Hey, look at this face. Maybe not in his modern movies, but anyway. Emperor. And in that movie, the Emperor of Japan says to MacArthur, "What? I've been called a god. What is a god?" Now, this is really important.
Wow.
And MacArthur says, "A god is the one who created the world."
Wow.
And the Emperor of Japan said, "Well, I certainly did not do that."
Wow.
So I guess I'm not a god.
Do you think this actually happened? Or do you think it's a movie made up?
I really do believe this happened. And MacArthur gave personal discussions with Billy Graham and the New York Times and others, like very out there media. I think that really did happen. And the emperor said, "Well, I guess that I definitely am not a god." And so when he said that to the Japanese people, those series of events, Japan changed.
Wow.
And Japan brought in a pacifist constitution, which means they're not going to have more wars.
Yeah.
That they're going to be Western-leaning. Mm-hmm. The Americans poured in what would be billions and billions and billions of dollars to help start the rebuilding of Japan, which was so destroyed. Like every city was leveled. Like Tokyo, which was made of wooden homes, was just firebombed into the ground. It was just Japan was destroyed.
Yes.
One of the interesting things I heard recently was Kyoto was not destroyed because of its historic value.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have heard that as well. They were kind of picking and choosing where to drop some bombs.
Yeah. So you can go to Kyoto today. Why it's so famous is there's actually ancient pagodas and palaces and temples mm-hmm. that are actually very, very old and in their original state. That's pretty interesting, right?
But maybe the emperor asked not to bomb that because it's the old capital, right? Tokyo was the new capital. So maybe it's considering the historical value or maybe some of the things that was still there.
And I also believe the palace in Tokyo was also left alone, the whole that 5 kilometers zone. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So as a result, the emperor and Tommy Lee Jones and General Douglas MacArthur became very good friends. Now, the emperor was going to be hung, was going to be tried and hung as a war criminal.
Right.
But General Douglas MacArthur went to be his defender.
Wow.
And said the emperor was not in control of all those actions. He was more of a passive person.
Right.
And as such, now he is going to be the emperor The Japanese love him.
Yeah.
And he is not the cause, and let him go. And the American legal system said, okay.
Wow. That would have been a crazy different history, wouldn't it, Pastor Rod, if he was actually hung?
I think so. I think the beautiful Japanese hearts that we have today and their heart towards America, which is so positive, it could have been different.
Wow.
So I think it's an amazing moment of history that has linked Japan and even us being such close friends with Australia and Japan and New Zealand, Canada, America, Britain. This connection really formulated in those days.
Wow.
But there's more thing. Go on.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wasn't there also a moment with MacArthur and the emperor talking about it, and also kind of emperor saying, hey, do you want us to be Christians? Because we've been defeated. What should we do as a next step?
Yeah. And when I heard that, I thought it was a Christian myth. Like, that didn't happen. So you can actually Google it. MacArthur and Emperor Hirohito asking to be Christian. Google that.
Wow.
And the New York Times article will come up. Like, it's actually reported in 1945.
Wow.
But it also appears in Billy Graham's book, Talking to MacArthur, verifying it. So when I did my own research, I found, okay, this is actually verified.
Wow.
So the emperor said to MacArthur, you are the conquering country, you are Christian, and if you want me to, I'll become a Christian. And MacArthur's answer is shocking, not in a good way. It's a shock. He said, never.
Right.
That's the actual quoted word. Never. Right. I will never do that, but we will send 10,000 missionaries and 1 million Bibles, or might be 10 million Bibles, and your people will have a chance.
Okay.
So, one, that's a huge lost opportunity, because you might say, well, what if it said yes? What would have happened? And I don't know, but I do know this, that the Japanese people would have been educated in the religion of Jesus Christ, whatever that means.
Yeah.
I think that would have happened, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So people today don't know about Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's a sad thing. But the good thing was MacArthur did actually put the call out to America to send 10,000 missionaries and 10 million Bibles. And not 10,000 missionaries came, but at least let's say 2,000 missionaries came and 10 million Bibles.
Yeah.
And that did happen. That actually did happen in the following years. So then we've got these 7 years with MacArthur still there.
Yeah. It's under America, right, for 7 years?
Yeah. And Okinawa was still under America till 1972. But the rest of Japan in 1952, new constitution, new government, America left.
Right.
And Japan was truly under Japanese leadership in every area again, every area, except Okinawa. those 7 years were years of tremendous church growth.
Wow. It's just because of those missionaries coming in and the Bibles being sent? Was that the
I think
only
so.
Reason?
I think that in a post-war country where there's actually somehow good relationships, it's sort of a it's hard to conceive, isn't it? So Japan lost so many people, and yet they really liked America because of these issues.
Right.
The people coming in were seen as friends.
Right.
Missionaries were seen as good people.
Mm.
The Bible was seen as something interesting.
Mm.
And during those 7 years, I've done research on this, Marcia, and I cannot find it in print, but people have told me they call it the seven golden years of evangelism.
Oh, wow.
1945 to 1952, because Japan was so destroyed.
Right.
And what was brought in, first of all, was tents and food and water and infrastructure and leadership, training the Japanese in the new government style and the schools, and what's being taught now is not sort of Shintoism in the old, but now it's the new Japan. For 7 years, there was church growth. There was many Japanese who opened their hearts to God, and it's an amazing story. But I think it's a story of a church emerging from the ash, the nation emerging from the ashes.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Germany after the war, or South Korea after the Korean War in 1953.
Very similar, right, after the war.
Very similar. So a lot of the big churches in Korea, in Seoul, started in that post-1953 zone because of the huge amount of relief work was done by Christians.
But that kind of shows, Pastor, the power of one generation, doesn't it, after the war, and just could be a nation-shifting moment for Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was. And so today in Japan, I'm going to flip. Today in Japan, most churches have very elderly Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We love them. We honor them. There's nothing wrong. But under the age of 70, there's not many Christians in Japan. So those people in that age bracket were the ones that came to Christ 1945 to 1952.
That's very true. Wow.
So it was real and it was lasting, and the churches grew, and the missions built universities. Some of them were our famous ones.
Yeah.
I think Aoyama Gakuin and many others. Mm-hmm. The one in Kyoto, the big one, Christian University there. Churches were built, land was bought, churches were put on.
Universities. That's a big one, right, Pastor Rob? Because some of the amazing, beautiful churches in Tokyo, especially, are in the prime real estate location. But I've heard something alongside of the Americans kind of donated it to Christian churches because it was American base or American land. Is that true?
That's true. And I've verified that with a few key people. How did you get this land and church in this prime spot? The answer was that when the Americans left, they gave it. They gave it to the Baptists or the Presbyterians or whatever. What was a gift, which today is worth billions of dollars in some cases. Yeah, pretty amazing. So the money was poured in, education was poured in. Many Japanese in education circles heard the gospel, and so this is interesting because a number of the very older pastors that I've met in Japan in my 23 years got saved in those years.
Wow.
Especially around Osaka, Kyoto, that area. Wow. I've met older pastors, and they got saved in those Christian universities.
Wow.
And they were very educated and very, very good people, loved the Word of God. And a lot of church growth came out of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we rejoice in all of that, and the people that are alive today, and many people who have passed away are in heaven from that era. But then something changed.
Yeah, so because like you would think momentum will keep going after golden 7 years, and you know it will be in a different state. But what was the thing that actually didn't follow through or that didn't work after 7 years?
And that is the basis of my current studies, Marsh, because there's not much literature.
Right.
So if anyone here knows any literature of what happened in terms of the church stopped growing about 1952, 53, what happened? Because it did happen. Because there's a sort of a missing generation, say 50 to 70 year old in the church, and even under that. So something stopped. Evangelism stopped. Church growth stopped. I don't know. But I do have some clues from some documents which I'm not going to go into right now, except to say I think Japan became an economic powerhouse.
Right. And that's when all these big companies start to rise and, you know, technology start to flourish as well. So maybe differences in lifestyle could be one of the reasons, Pastor Rod.
I think so much. I think Japan moved from being a post-war destroyed country to being the first Asian tiger economy, which is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we had Sony and Toyota and Honda and Sanyo and these entrepreneurial companies, back then in the 50s, made in Japan was not a great term, but by the 70s became world-class champions. So those, the phenomenal increase in Japan's GDP and lifestyle. Yeah. And so the question is, what happened? The only thing I could say is the working man was working very hard for corporations.
That's true. Yeah.
And working very long hours, and their wives were often working. Or it had changed. Japan had changed, and maybe, just maybe, there wasn't a message for the common man.
Right.
And I will write about this in the future and put some resources behind it. But that's my summary, is that the great church after the war, which was so powerful, didn't morph into a message and something for the very, very hardworking corporate life in Japan. I've got nothing more than that. There's no literature on what went wrong.
Maybe they needed a big three pastoral with the simpleness of just reading the Bible. Because I would imagine the men to be working all day, probably over the weekend as well, and not having enough time to go to church and not enough time to read the Bible or pray. So maybe that guilt side comes in of like, I can't do this because I've got to make money, and maybe the economy and the nation becomes their God, replacing Jesus. What do you think?
I think you as a Japanese person has probably stated that better than I could. because I don't want to judge anyone, but I think you're right. There are causes. One of the questions I'd like to answer is, so they brought 10 million Bibles into Japan in 1945, which is such a gift. We thank the Bible League and a number of very generous, if your family gave money to the Bibles at that time, thank you so much, because there was a generation move of God. But I wonder what language it was, what that's translation true. It was, because Japanese was changing dramatically, the language.
Totally.
You can imagine a country going into the war, coming out of the war, changes to everything, new generation, and then becoming a powerhouse. Language changes. And I've studied linguistics, as you know, and one of the things about linguistics is the more a language is living, the more a language changes. So Japanese is a living language. It's a changing language. So I just wonder whether it was understandable to the new generation. Now, they would have been able to read the words on the page, although not all of them. But it's like me when I got saved, Marsha. This is sort of a passion area for me. When I got saved at 19 was 1979. Wow. Now 64. Yeah. So if people had given, as a seeker, as a non-Christian, I was a fireman and I was seeking God. And my two friends gave me a new translation of the Bible. The NIV came out in 1979. I got saved in 1979. If they had given me a King James version, and I love the King James, I love the new King James. So this is not a value judgment. It's a language issue. If they'd given me a King James Bible, I would not have read it. I just would not have read it. It was old English. And I just could not have got into it. New King James, but that wasn't out then. But they gave me the NIV, and it was readable. And it was a huge part of why I read the whole New Testament and read about Jesus and finally got saved. So the issue of language, as you know, if we do one on our story in the last 20 years in Lifehouse, and we've seen thousands of Japanese give their lives to Jesus in our generation. But back then, I wonder whether language was an issue because we find it an issue today.
And how do we know, Pastor, so switching a question as well, like it was seven golden years of evangelism to now some of the times, like, you know, we hear a lot of people say Japan is a missionary's graveyard, or Japan is unresponsive, or Japanese people are not open, and it's a closed-hearted nation. Like, how do we get to that place?
In this question, I've got to be careful because I've met many missionaries who did serve in Japan. And the first thing I want to say is thank you for praying and serving and giving and loving and sowing seeds. Thank you so much to the generation. I believe their zeal was amazing. I believe their hearts are amazing. Their sending churches were amazing. Great, great people that I meet. But they say to me, thank you, Rod, for coming and coaching a new generation. I wish we knew what you knew. And I've even got that recently in these studies I'm doing with an elderly missionary, a very senior missionary, saying there was some keys there we need to understand. And I just think in any culture, there are cultural keys to breaking open the culture in that time, in that generation. So the seven golden years, the cultural key was there. after, there wasn't much evangelism. There wasn't much people becoming believers. Why? That's the question. Right. But we have found some cultural keys. So getting back to your question, I don't think Japan is a graveyard of missionaries, and I don't think Japanese hearts are hard. I just think Japan is unique. You're unique, Mush.
Thank you.
Your people are unique, all in a good way. We love them so much. But we had to understand what the problem was.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the problem was about language.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to go into another podcast on this, because I think it's really important that we talk about this as a breakthrough in a culture where people said the people are hard, but we don't find them hard.
No.
So what went wrong? That's really important. Now, a lot of Japanese pastors have also said to me, Pastor Rod, what's wrong with us? Or why did God do this? And so I'm saying, no, that's not the issue. There's another issue, and the issue is strategy, culture, contextualization, language. It's a different basket.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the same with many cultures in the world where people are so-called resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also lived in Thailand, it has the same title of the graveyard of missionaries, but we found God moving there.
Yeah.
And then there's people groups that are different faiths.
Yeah.
And we're working with some of those, and some of my friends are working with some of those and are finding great fruitfulness.
Yes.
And I can't even talk about some of them because they're actually closed countries, but I can I know a lot of it's about language, contextualization, and the way you approach people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So once again, people have served in Japan. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So grateful. So thankful. You laid a carpet of prayer and sowing seeds.
Yeah.
But I do believe there are cultural keys that can open people. And even, you know, looking at, you know, America, Australia, we've got to find the cultural key for this generation.
Yeah.
And it is different. So this is not like a Japan thing.
No, it's a worldwide thing, isn't it? But do you think there's another wave coming past? It feels like, you know, God is really moving all around the world, and especially in Japan as well. So maybe, like, you know, with Francis Xavier, there's a big call for people to come and bring more missionaries. And after war especially, hey, bring more Bible, bring more missionary. Do you think that's kind of like another Macedonian call now to say, hey world, Japan is open. Where's everybody? Hey, come and help us. Let's come and reach Japanese people here. Do you think there's another call?
Yeah, and I think you're the man to do it. Everything from a Japanese heart, call to the world, Mush. Call out. And Jesus said this in Luke 10:2. He said, look at the fields. They're ripe to harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the fields. I believe that's where we're at. We're calling. We're calling especially to the American church, because there's actually responses happening in America towards Japan and other countries. Right now, I believe there's another missions movement happening in America.
Wow.
And I think as you and other Japanese call out, come on over. Come on over. Help us. Time is now. As people come with more Bibles, and we've just done a new translation of the Japanese Bible with Bible League. Thank you so much, Bible League. We love you. The whole Bible's coming out by the end of 2024. We've got the New Testament right now on YouVersion. It's called the Japan ERV, if you want to look it up. New call. There's going to be something happening. And you and I have been in conversations, Marsh, with many missions people, right, in America. What do you feel? Do you feel there's something happening?
Japan's always been open, but there's new openness, I guess, to Jesus. And also, I don't know, it's always funny how open Japanese people are to the Western culture. So I think that might be the new key here. Just not just, of course, Japanese reaching Japanese, but also with a help with our Western friends or any friends, I guess, outside of Japan. It's a tag team collaboration, Pastor. I think it's the key.
So what would you say? I'm going to finish in a minute, I guess. But what would you, if you called out right now for people, what would you say? What's your call?
I would say, hey, maybe what Francis, is it Francis Xavier that said it? But give up your small ambition and come change the world.
Yes, yeah, say it again.
Give up your small ambitions and come and change the world.
Whoa, gold.
But I think it's just so open. Japanese people waiting to hear. And I think if they had a chance to hear, I think I literally think the people with right relationship will believe and have faith in Jesus. So that's what I would say, Pastor. Just come over and see and taste and see what God is doing in Japan.
Awesome. Well, it's great. It's been a privilege to be with you for at least 10 years now, 12 years we've been 12, together.
Yeah.
Been a great joy. And now to see so many of your countrymen and women growing in Christ, new churches planted, Lifehouse churches, but other churches. And
yes,
there is definitely something happening.
Yeah, amazing. So if you're interested, everybody, if you're listening from overseas, send us a message or something to kind of collaborate how you can be part of a move of God in Japan. But thank you so much, Pastor Rod. I think this historical lesson is amazing. So maybe we need to continue to do it in one way or another. But thank you, everybody, for listening to the Rodcast. Wait for another great episode of Rodcast releasing soon. So I'll see you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed today's episode with Pastor Rod, why don't you subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this? And we'll see you next time.